Welcome to Core 242 Podcast, brought to you by Core Community Covenant Church. Now let's dive into the Word of God with Pastor Max and Pastor Trey. So we're continuing on our core truths here at our church, and we also just truly believe that it should be the core of Christian faith as we go through it. Last week we talked about centering God's grace. Today we're going to be talking about obeying God's truth. Forward on, we'll talk about reflecting God's purpose and then embodying God's love. And today we are diving into obeying God's truth. We're going to break it up in a couple of places because there was a lot. I feel like we could have went in so many different directions, but we wanted to focus on two things. How God's word is revealed, how his truth is revealed, and then we're going to talk about how God's word is to be obeyed. So those were the two things that we're going to look through. So the beginning, we're going to talk about the scriptures of John 17:17. And it says, sanctify them by the truth, and your word is truth. So before we do anything, we do need to identify what truth is. His word is truth. And we're going to kind of play with that through the time, because what is his word? What is truth? And how we need to interpret it and how we need to obey it is very important for us as Christians.
Mm-hmm. Last week we talked about centering God's grace and how the foundation of our Christian faith, the starting point of where we begin to walk with the Lord is his grace. The details of that the Father sent the Son, right? His death, his resurrection, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us, that we cannot earn our way to heaven, right? We cannot earn favor with God. The law, Christ came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. But so we don't fulfill the law, we don't live out the law in order to earn God's favor, but because of his grace, we are to be holy as he is holy. That's what we talked about last time. But looking at this, the next step is that if we are to be holy as he is holy, it's in response to his grace, right? Not in order to earn his grace. And the way that we become holy as he is holy is by obeying his truth. Now, so often we can get really caught up on what is the truth. People start to argue theology. They go back and forth about different doctrines, the way that they interpret scripture, you know, and the church is really polarized on these things. And that also leaves the world confused because they're looking at us and we claim that we have the truth, but we can't even agree amongst ourselves on what the truth is. This verse makes it very simple, very clear, saying, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. God's word is the truth. And he reveals his word in four different ways that we have seen in the world around us and in scripture. And that word sanctifies us. Just as we said, through obeying, we become holy as he is holy. This is how we become. That's the process of sanctification, is that we are becoming holy, right? Sanctus comes from the word, means holy. So the process of becoming holy comes through the word. The word of God transforms us, not only by being exposed to the word, but also by living and practicing the word. So there's four ways that God's word is revealed.
Yeah, and just before we go through those four things, sanctify, to be holy. Remember, it's not to be holier than thou, that we just be better than everybody. That's not the calling of us to be holy. Holy is for us to be set apart so we can be used by God. Mm-hmm. The things in the temples were holy because they were there to be used for God's worship. So when we become holy or go through the process of becoming holy to be sanctified, the process is for us to be used to glorify God. Amen. That's the whole point of this. It's not that we could look down on people and be like, well, you're not following, you're not doing, you're not saying. It's not about that. It's about to be used by God in each and every part of our life, because sometimes things takes a while to surrender to God. Like, all right, I surrendered my mouth, but I didn't surrender my face, right? There's a lot of us have that problem where I can say all the right things, but my face says totally different things, right? Our pockets don't get sanctified. Our wallets don't get sanctified. A lot of these things, you know? So we need to get to the place of this holiness to be used by God and for God and God alone. So the way we're going to look at this, the four things God's word is revealed in, is in creation, in scripture, in Christ, and through the Holy Spirit. Not in Holy Spirit, through Holy Spirit. And we're gonna explain that a little bit more. So the first one is creation.
Yeah. At the very beginning of scripture, God reveals himself through his word in creation. The way that everything that we see and know and experience, and even the things that we don't, it says at the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So even the heavens that we cannot see were created by God. And the way that it's revealed that he creates everything is over and over and over again, it says, and God said, and God said, and God said. So all of what we're experiencing, all of creation around us, is actually a revelation of God's word coming to pass. So we can experience God's word in creation. And Romans chapter 1 in verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen and understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." So again, when someone reveals, when we speak, the words that we use reveal something about us. So it's not just to direct us and order us around, but God's word reveals his character, reveals his nature. So through his word, God is revealed in creation. That's the first part of what we're looking at. The second way that God reveals himself is through scripture, right? He speaks his word into creation and creation comes into being. The next thing we see in the story of scripture is that scripture itself becomes recorded, that God's word is revealed in the writings of scripture.
Yeah, and in 2 Timothy 3:16, we hear this being testified. It says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." All scripture, we cannot step away from that as Christians. We cannot pick and choose the different parts of this book. All scriptures, and we struggle with some, and some come very easily, but we need to stand on this truth in obedience that scripture was absolutely God-breathed, anointed by him and him alone.
Mm-hmm. And more specifically, you know, what was considered the holiest of scriptures in Jewish tradition is actually the first five books of scripture, which we trust that it was written by Moses. And Exodus 24:4 says that this is actually verse 4. It says, "Everything the Lord has said we will do. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said." Mm-hmm. What we see in the book of Genesis, Exodus, and so on, God was revealing, this is called the testimony, looking at the same book, Exodus chapter 31, though, verse 18, it says, "When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God." So not only did Moses record the word that God revealed, the word that God had spoken, but God himself inscribes his word in stone, which is the, you know, obviously a permanence of being written in stone. By his very finger, he writes. And traditionally, we think of, oh, the stone tablets, you know, they had the Ten Commandments, and you have the picture of the old movie of the Ten Commandments. Moses is carrying the two tablets and all of that, and then he gets mad and breaks them. But it actually says the tablets of the testimony, not the tablets of the Ten Commandments, the tablets of the testimony. The testimony being this story of how God has been working in history and how he's been setting apart a people for himself. So the testimony is not just the Ten Commandments. The testimony is actually believed to be all the total sum of his law. So God has revealed his word through the law and through scripture, a little bit of what we talked about last week about him being revealed through the law.
Yeah, and just to chew on this, and I'm sorry, I know it's kind of geeky, but I love that part because when Trisha and I were looking into this, just the concept of God's finger writing these things. And then you look at John chapter 8 when the woman that was caught in adultery, and they bring it in front of Jesus, and they confront Jesus about it and everything else. And Jesus kind of stoops down and starts writing with his finger, whatever he wrote, whatever the testimony that he wrote, whatever the law, whatever it was. But it was just when Trish and I were talking about this, like this image that in Exodus, there was this writing that by God's fingers that have established so much of the faith. And then here Jesus with his finger once again confronts, and he actually confronts the lawmaker, the law followers, the lawmakers.
Right, and the law was designed to reveal sin, and he says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. So it may have been that he started writing. Many theologians actually believe that's what he was probably writing, but we obviously, scripture doesn't disclose that, so the mystery
But it's
remains.
Cool. They wrote the
it
finger.
Is cool, but that leads us to that transition from the word of God being written to the word of God made flesh, which is in Christ. So John chapter 1, many of us are familiar with that.
Yeah, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning, verse 1 and 2. Christ himself, the word was revealed through Christ. And that's a very important thing for us to hold on to, because it's so important to understand that Jesus not only came down for salvation, he came down for us to actually understand how this word, how the beginning of the Bible was going to look like. It's a continuation. We need to realize that the Old Testament just kept on going and talking about Jesus and talking about Jesus and talking about Jesus. And finally, Jesus came. And here's the true word that now we can see how that looks like. All these books, now they're in front of us, in front of those Jewish people at that time. And 14, first John chapter 1, 14 says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Very important, and it's kind of coming together between yesterday's, last week's and this week's, that he was full with grace and truth. He spoke the truth. He was the flesh made dwelling among us, just this amazing, wonderful God who did not take quality of God as lightly. He came down on earth to love on us and care for us and show us the truth, the way, and the life.
Mm-hmm. So Christ lived this life in complete obedience to the law. He was without sin, right? He who had no sin became sin for us. So there's this imagery that God first reveals himself in creation, but then creation no longer reflects the fullness of God's glory through his word because of the fall. So then God gives the law in order to point to, through his word, back to him. And the law becomes this list of rules and regulations. So once again, the law cannot bring us to the true character of God. Leads us in many ways, but only so far. Through the law, we do not have that relationship that God desired, but we have a foretaste of it, right? Even the law, you know, telling the Israelites to practice the Passover and the sacramental system and all of it, the priestly system, the sacrificial system, all of those things were actually pointing to Christ, right? Who was the lamb who was slain. Who all of that was pointing, you know, on Passover is when he was crucified. And then on the third day during the feast, he was raised again. So all of those things in scripture, the law was actually meant to point to Christ. So this, what you see happening throughout history is this more and more clarified revelation of God through his word. First in creation, then in scripture, and then in the person of Christ, who became flesh and walked among us. Now you have God's word with skin on, visual, real, right? Tangible. He's healing people. His word changes. His word heals. His word transforms. And we saw that and experienced that through the life of Christ, who was God's word made flesh. And in John 14:6, Jesus actually says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we want to obey God's truth, if we want to obey God's word, Jesus says that he is the truth. So the truth is not just some theological concept. The truth is not some abstract idea.
Yeah.
The truth is a person.
Yes.
So when we're called to obey God's word, we're not just called to obey the letter of the law. We're called to obey Christ and his commands. We're called to be made in the image of Christ. We're called to walk the way he walked, talk the way he talked, and live a life of freedom from sin because of the work that he has done on our behalf.
And just kind of finishing up that verse, it says, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That is an important thing for us to understand, that there's the way, there's the truth. That's it, period. Only through him, who is the way, the truth, and the life, that's how you come to the Father. It's through him and him alone. There's no works that needs to be done. There's no whatever prayers that needs to be prayed. It's got to be the way he lived his life. He came down, right? We had all these laws. Then he came and showed how the way through his life. And now when we follow his way, we follow his truth, we follow his life, that's how we follow into the presence of the Father. Mm-hmm. The last thing that we see is through the Holy Spirit. The word is revealed through the Holy Spirit. And this is found in John 16, 12 and 13. All right, so it says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Through Holy Spirit, all these things are revealed. That's why it's so important that Christians, after they have submitted to Christ as their Lord, they have to submit to the Holy Spirit. He's the one who reveals all the truth about the Father, all the truth about the Scripture, all the truth about this creation, about everything else. We have these, we've said these three things that God's word is revealed in creation, Scripture, and Christ. But if we do not have the Holy Spirit, we do not see the real truth about all those things. Some people will see the sunrise and be like, wow, that's beautiful. But those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, we see the echo of the creation of the God the Father and the creativity of our God the Father. When a person without the Holy Spirit reads the Scripture, it's just a book. It's just words. But when the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, we have this truth that comes straight from God's heart, from God's mouth. And when we read through the life of Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit all of a sudden, it burdens us, it convicts us, it leads us to change, it leads us to doing the life that Christ has called us to do. We finally realize his will because of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, again, it's just a guy. It was just a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Many religions have said, oh, he was just a nice prophet. He was a good teacher. But through the Holy Spirit, we say, no, he is God. He is the way, the truth, and the life, only through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Which also through the Holy Spirit leads us to a new place of obeying his truth. If truth is his word, through the Holy Spirit saying what he hears from the Father, speaking into our lives, that means that we don't just, you know, worship the Lord God, the only, do not lie, do not cheat, do not steal. But that means that his word is living and active in us right now. So the Holy Spirit may lead you, and through the word, through the truth, we have to obey when the Holy Spirit leads us and says, call this person and pray for them. When the Holy Spirit says, you know, today, for example, take those shoes, right, and give them to that person who has bare feet and is living in the street. All of these things that on our daily life that we're prompted, you know, go here, do this, do that, or don't go there, don't do that. Those are God's word, that is through the Holy Spirit. He is speaking to us his truth. So we now not only have to, you know, some people think, oh, well, the law, that was back then, we don't have to follow that. No, in fact, as Christians, there is more of God's word revealed. So we not only should be living out the law, which is good and holy and right, but we actually now have a higher standard, which is that as the Holy Spirit speaks to us today in a very personal way, mm-hmm. we are meant to obey that truth in our lives, to obey that word, whatever he calls us to do. If he calls us to sacrifice and give up certain things, we need to follow that and be obedient to that, because that's what he is calling us to do through his word, and we are called to obey that word regardless of how uncomfortable it makes us, regardless of what people will think, regardless of how we may feel about it. We may not like it, mm-hmm. but we are meant to be obedient and to do that. So through the Holy Spirit, God's word is revealed to us in a very personal way, which leads us into his truth, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, which is made very clear in John chapter 16 here.
Yep. Just to finish off this, God's word is revealed, how the God's word is revealed is that they will not contradict each other. The creation, the scripture, and Christ will not, and the Holy Spirit will not contradict each other. If all of a sudden the scripture, what you're feeling in your heart has nothing to do with the scripture, they ain't it. If Christ's life, if what you are seeing and how Christ lived his life do not come together, it's not it.
I was just talking to someone this week, and I think it may have actually been you, but I can't remember, about how in Islam they actually have a principle that it's okay to lie if you believe that you're doing it for Allah, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing that is not true in Christianity. God's word does not contradict itself. Amen. God is not a man that he should lie. His promises are good and true and faithful, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. So we cannot, you know, nowadays we have all these quote-unquote prophets, self-proclaimed prophets, who have some sort of new revelation, or they heard an angel speak to them. There's all sorts of things. But if that revelation, if that word, if what the Holy Spirit supposedly is speaking, we have to be really careful. When you hear someone say, God told me, or God told me to tell you, your alarm bell should go off, and you should test that, right? Yep. Test that spirit, test that word according to scripture, test that according to what you've seen in the life of Christ. Test that according to the word of God and the character of God before you go believing every teaching and every, you know, being tossed back and forth by the waves.
Yeah, and just to throw a scripture in there, just to solidify it, Matthew chapter 5:17, it says, do not think, Jesus says this, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And the reason I wanted to use that verse is that to see that some people are like, all right, well, this was Old Testament. That was just for the Jews, and we're Christians, and we're just going to read the New Testament. It's Christ. And he said, no, these are important things. The reason I came down is to not make what you have been studying, what you've been reading, even more of a emphasis, because watch me live this out. Watch me accomplish all these things. Watch me do this because God have with his finger wrote these out, and I'm gonna now in the person live it out. Those are all connected. We cannot separate the scripture and Christ and all the creation and all the breath that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. We cannot separate this. It's all as one, and we need to make sure it stays there and be cautious, like Trish said, absolutely be cautious of these shepherds.
Yes.
And wolf's skin. Right here.
Oh, okay. We scrolled and I lost my place.
Right there.
Okay, so what do we do about this? Here is why this is so important. Now that we know the truth, and we know the truth is God's word, the reason why this is so crucial, so often we think about spiritual life and salvation and spiritual warfare as this battle between good and evil, right? And there's some truth to that, but God's goodness so far out, you know, surpasses that of the enemy. There is no comparison. This is not yin and yang, good and evil. They're not equal and opposite forces. what you actually see unfolding in Scripture and in the Christian life, the battle is actually between the truth and a lie. Mm. And when you go back to Genesis chapter 3, what happens in Genesis chapter 3 is that Satan questions. Mm-hmm. He says, did God really say? Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say, but God knows that if you eat of this tree, you will be like God, right? That is the battle, is that God speaks this truth. He's revealed in creation. And the enemy immediately comes and questions that initial design, that initial creation, questions God's truth, questions God's word. And what he's doing, in essence, when you question God's word, you are questioning his character.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You are questioning his character. So God's word, when it's questioned, it creates this rift. And Satan is the father of lies, right? What is happening is that there is a battle over you. And that battle is, will you believe and stand the truth for the truth, or will you accept the lies? The lies that the enemy tells through people, through information that we take in, lies that we tell ourselves. And that is the battle. So that's why this is so important, that we not that we understand God's truth and that we know his word, right? David even says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Amen.
The word is what is being questioned all throughout history, and the word is what we need to know and what we need to align with.
Yep. One thing that we want to bring up is in Romans 1:25, that kind of testifies to what happened. It says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. This is happening over and over and over again, where God is not being worshiped, but things that are made in the image are. And that's why I think, one of the Ten Commandments is, do not make images. Because we start worshiping foolish things that are nothing. So we came up with a wonderful way of remembering how to obey. And it's the ABCs of obeying. Give a shout out to my wife. The ABCs of obeying is act, believe, and confess. And why is obeying so important? Obeying, we see this, Jesus speaks it very plainly in John 14:16.
He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. When we claim to have a relationship with God, when we claim to be anchored in our faith, in his truth, we will obey what he commands. What does he command? The first thing that we are meant to do, he says that we are to love one another. In John chapter 13, he says, verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. He sums up the law, right? Even when he's questioned, he sums up the law and the commands in love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So when we think about his truth, when we think about his word, it really narrows down to one simple thing that we are meant to do, which is to love.
Now, the challenge is spoken in 1 John chapter 3, verses 18. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. We cannot just say, I love you. It's got to be done with actions and in truth. We've talked about this number of times. We've used James. I think last week we used James, not be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. James talks about faith without works is dead. There's this action to our obeying. There's action to our love. Just to say that yes, of course, and then not do it, it's just you're lying to yourself and you're lying to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Right. When we think about relationships, right? If your significant other tells you I love you, but then goes out and cheats or does all these things or is abusive and whatnot, you know whether their words stand or whether they fall based on how they act. So the first thing when we say that we're obeying God's truth is that we love, but we love through our actions. Mm. That our actions make that truth, make that word, make that love very visible and very tangible. The second thing that we need to do is believe. First John chapter 3. We're in John a lot today, whether it's John the Gospel or the First John the book, all written by the same author. John had a very high view of God's word, a very high view of love. He understood this relationship. And First John chapter 3, 21 through 24 says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. We receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us." So the next thing we have to do to obey God's truth, not only do we have to act it out and live in a way that exemplifies this truth, but we have to actually believe the truth. We're not supposed to just go through the motions. Mm. We're not just supposed to pretend to be good Christians and show up to church on Sunday and carry around our Bibles and maybe have a bumper sticker on our car. We're supposed to actually believe what we claim. We're supposed to believe what we say and what we do. And John chapter 14, 1, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." The word there can also mean believe. You believe in God, believe also in me. So there's this connection between belief and actual trust. My husband loves to tell this story that you may believe that the chair is going to hold you up, but you only trust and show that when you actually sit in it.
Right.
Right? So we can believe abstract concepts, but this is not like Newton's law of motion, right? An object in motion stays in motion, or those sorts of things where you just believe it and it's like, okay, that's nice. I'm just going to put that fact in my pocket, but it doesn't do anything, right? Yeah. Belief should change you. Belief is something that you trust in, that you lean on, that when you don't see God, when you don't feel God, when he's not answering your prayers the way that you want him to, your faith continues to stand. You continue to believe, you continue to lean on his word because you know that it's good and faithful and true.
Yeah, the last thing is confession. C's for confession and ABCs of obeying. And the first thing that we're going to look at is Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's this confession gives us obedience. It's this confession that's actually speak. This is not like, all right, this is a quiet time for you guys to just between you and the Lord. There's a confession needs to be made that Jesus is Lord. I really hope, and this is a no preaching, but I'm going to preach it anyways, that it says Lord. It doesn't say Savior. I know everybody's like, oh, he's my Savior. I see your Lord. Have you confessed that he's in charge of your life? Wow. Have you surrendered yourself to him? That's obedience. That's obedience, to say that he is my Lord and take it as what it is. Not just, oh, he's my Savior. All right, cool. That's awesome. He is. He is. But did you confess that he's Lord? Have you surrendered all your life to him?
And confessing him as Lord, right, is this demonstration of worship. When you confess him as Lord, you obey your Lord, right? You obey him. You see him as the king. You see him as the Lord of your life, who is the one who directs your paths. And it's an act of worship. And John chapter 4, 23 and 24 says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." And while worship is not just singing, right, there is this beautiful imagery that as the word of God is revealed, right, in creation, in scripture, in Christ, through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit living in us, that kind of the ultimate culmination, right, of obeying God's truth is that we not only live it out, but that we will actually open our mouths and our words will reveal the character and glory of God. That as we open our mouths in worship, as we go out and confess that he is the Lord of our lives and we tell others about it, which brings us to Matthew chapter 28, that there's this vision of, okay, God's word has come forth, has transformed us. Now we are meant to go out and speak that word to others and reveal the character and nature of God in the world around us.
Yeah, and just before we jump into the, in verse 28, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 and 17, it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. So that means if they worshiped him, they started confessing, you are the Lord. You were raised from the dead. You were all the things that you have said. So there's this confession, and then through that confession comes worship, right? If we didn't believe that the person is Lord, we're probably not going to be dropping on our knees and worshiping them. They're like, all right, it's a nice person right there, right? And then he tells them, now what's the next step? Through this confession, now you need to do more things. Now, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Just a very wonderful promise is that. But so now in our confession, we're teaching others to obey. What does that mean? I'm not going to tell you to do something if I'm not doing it myself. Yeah. Well, some people like
and
to do it.
And that's the order of it, right? First, we have to act and believe, and then we confess and share it.
Yeah. But because we need to change ourselves. We need to surrender ourselves. We need to learn to obey, and then we're going to be able to tell other people to do the same, right?
So the ABCs of obeying God's truth, right? We act, we believe, and we confess his word and his truth, not only in our own lives, but to those around us. And why? What is the effect of this? Why is this so important? Well, he reveals his grace, right? But we get into a dangerous place. We want to center his grace. We don't want to center on works. But we get into a dangerous place where we don't allow that grace and that word to transform us. And when we do that, we are in bondage to sin. And we don't experience the life and the freedom that God would have us. His word sets us free. He says in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he says, if you hold to my teaching, in other words, if we obey his word, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God's kingdom is upside down.
Yeah.
We think that by having to follow the law that we're in some sort of bondage. We think that God's word confines us and makes us fuddy-duddies and all of this sort of thing. And it kind of is like God putting us under his thumb. But the reality is that when we obey God's truth, when we follow his teachings, we actually find victory. We actually find freedom. And as we do that, the truth will set us free. And it will allow us to speak that same truth for others to be set free in the same way. So through his word, we get to know the character of God, and we get to be transformed by that very word so that we can live a life in freedom and a life in his truth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for spending time with us during this episode. We pray that this teaching blessed you and brought you closer to understanding God. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at corechurch242@gmail.com. Until next time, know you are loved and covered in prayer.